We're going to shift gears just a little bit. And so if you remember, we're in a capital campaign and we've been doing this sermon series called Lifeful Living. And this week was supposed to be, I was all set to go. I had my sermon done, all of that stuff. And it's supposed to be on legacy. How do we leave a legacy for Christ? But we just thought that we just need to shift gears just a little bit. We really said, hey, we need to really think through what's going on in our culture right now. What are we doing? What are the fears that we need to overcome? And so we have shifted a little bit our sermon, and we're going to have more of a panel discussion. We're going to get into the word together. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of the church. But I have with me here Travis. He is our group's pastor. We have Nate. He's our family pastor. And this guy, he is not one of our pastors, but he does have a PhD in microbiology, and he is a professor at Michigan Tech. He is not a medical doctor, but he really helped me to understand some of the things that we're dealing with the coronavirus, because I was, I think, kind of on the end. What's the big deal? Like, how do we, you know, it's not that big of a deal type of a thing. But we sat and talked, and I think there's like, my perspective is not that big of a deal. And then you have this other perspective of let's all freak out, get a bunker and go underneath the ground. And I think what you helped me to do is really have a balanced understanding of that. And so would you just share kind of a little bit about what you shared with me in regards to what we're dealing with?
Sure. I just want to clarify as well. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a medical doctor. I study little things that you can't see, and most of the time things that help us. So I'm not an expert in this in any way. But I think that part of what we were talking about yesterday was where do we fall along this? Because there is that cavalier attitude of, well, it's just the flu. And the reality is it's not just the flu. This is a different virus. And I think part of the concern is that we don't know much about it. And I think that's part of where you hear all these precautions that are going into place. And I think a lot of that is because we don't know that much about it. It's something that's completely new. But should this cause fear? I don't think it should cause fear. I think that there is this idea that there are many different viruses that are out there, the flu including one of them, this coronavirus. And this is another one of these viruses. I think a lot of it is just that it's new. We don't know much about it. And it is worse than the flu in many ways. But it should not cause fear.
Okay. Yeah. We were having breakfast yesterday as we were planning for this service, and there are some old codgers there, and they're just going off. We could hear them from the table over, and they were just like, this is all a bunch of phooey, you know, we've lived through a bunch of stuff and this is fine. We can be out and doing those things. But what I hear you kind of saying is, let's be cautious where we can be cautious, but let's not be fearful. I think that's one of the things that you helped me to understand in this is just how we should be viewing some of this. The overcoming of fear, that is what we are proclaiming here. The Bible, the gospel, Christ, the church, the faith, all are one great battle cry against fear in the lives of human beings. Fear is somehow or other, the arch enemy itself. It crouches in people's hearts. It hollows out their insides until their resistance and their strength are spent and they suddenly break down. Fear secretly gnaws and eats away at all the ties that bind a person to God and to others. And when in a time of need that a person reaches for those ties and clings to them, they break and the individual sinks back into himself or herself, helpless and despairing, while hell rejoices. Bonhoeffer wrote that in the middle of World War II. You know, you have communism coming on him, the threat of Nazi takeover, and you have all of this kind of pushing toward him. And he writes about this whole idea of fear. And the reality is, he didn't know the future. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But as Christ followers, he says, you know, God stands above all of this. And he goes on and he says, God stands above all of this. And his word is unstayed. Like, there is nothing that comes up against his word. We live under the word of God. We live under him being in control. But the church has had this history of when there's epidemics, pandemics, disease, those types of things in history, having some responses to that. And you guys we've been talking about that for a while, and
Yeah, we've been talking about it. We've been doing a little bit of research on things. One of the things that, you know, we've all heard of the deadly plague back in like the 1500s, the bubonic plague, Black Death. And you can look back and you can see some really amazing ways that the church stepped up and responded in those. One of the interesting things that I found out as we were kind of talking about this and preparing was what Martin Luther did back in the 1500s. Somebody sent an email to him. Somebody sent him a message. They did not have email back then, but they sent him a message and they were like, what the heck should we be doing? It was a pastor. And he responded, he wrote this pamphlet in 1527 about whether one may flee from a deadly plague or not. And in his city of Wittenberg, it was bad. Things were going down. People were getting sick left and right from this plague. And he really challenged and called the church to stand up and step out in faith and help take care of people. And it was pretty amazing. We see, you know, he's like, you need to take care of your family. You need to take care of your loved ones. You don't need to put yourself in harm's way. But as pastors and as Christians, you need to step up and you need to be hospitable towards people. You need to go and check on your neighbors and make sure they're okay if there's anything that you can do for them. And I think we look back in history and we see these opportunities where the church has to step up and stand in faith.
We see that throughout history, right? The church doing that. In fact, hospitals were kind of developed by the church. And if we look at our own hospital here, its foundation was in the church. It was called St. Joseph's, right? And so that was in reference to the Joseph of Scripture. And it was run by nuns. And in fact, the first building of our hospital that's now in Hancock on Quincy Hill, that used to meet in the bishop's house when it first got started. It was a part of the church's response to help people. And so I think as we consider what we can do as a church, we need to be looking at people's needs, because that's what the church has done historically. It's part of our faith and part of our blessing our community.
It was like one of the things that Luther wrote in that pamphlet to the Christians, quoting Matthew 25, when I was sick, you cared for me. That's the call up for the church. That's the call up for those people who have faith and profess faith in Jesus. We have, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of fear and chaos, we have this tremendous opportunity to step up and be the hands and feet of Christ.
Yeah, that happened all the way back. The church has this historical, all the way back into the 250 AD. Rome is decimated by this plague that goes about one third of the people pass away from this, and people are that don't know Christ are running for the hills, and understandably at some level, right? You want to protect your family, you want to protect yourself, and there's self-preservation things going on in there, but the church stayed. And where the church stayed, it actually lowered the death rate by like half in those cities where they stayed. And some of them actually gave their lives to this, which is an incredible sacrifice. But we recognize that Christ did that for us, right? It was an incredible sacrifice that he gave for us. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve any of that, but he chose to do that. And they write about this later, about how that actually propelled Christianity, because people are like, what are these people doing? Like, they're not even scared of death itself. They're going out there and they're serving people who are sick. And it's not just those who were in the church, it was those who were outside of the church in that. And it really pushed people toward Christ, which we all want. We want to raise the name of Jesus up.
And if I remember right, that was Basil of Caesarea that was kind of instituting those hospitals, really the early formation of hospitals during that time. And exactly, like, he was building these places, these infirmaries for people to come that had leprosy and things like that, that were highly, highly contagious. And over and over and over again, you saw these people stepping out and living out their faith. Yeah, they could catch it. Yeah, they could die from it. But they were called to a higher calling to live and share that love of Jesus with people in a tangible way.
Yeah, if I think about myself, what I would like to do, like, first off, I love bunkers. And so when you said, should we build a bunker? I just have this image of building a bunker in the back of my house, like in the hill there. And so I just love bunkers, and I love being prepared for things, right? Being a Boy Scout or whatever.
Eagle Scout.
That's true. Right. But anyway, like, I think, man, there's so many things that we could do to prep it and that kind of thing. But really, we need to look to, I think, in an eternal perspective. Like, what is our God desire from us? What does he want us to do to really put his name on display, right? To lift his name high. And I think there is a balance here. I think if you are in a risk category with this stuff, that you need to consider how you can really seclude yourself somewhat, self-quarantine. That's okay. But I think as a whole in the church, we need to be looking for how we can continue this historical perspective of really reaching out to people and helping out in this time of crisis.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are going to shift gears here for just a moment. And, you know, so we've talked about the kind of like what this is and what we don't know about it. We've talked about the kind of the historical chunk of the church and how it's responded. But we want to always go back to the scriptures. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read a passage of scripture that outlines some of this idea of fear and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to respond. Nate, do you want to read that? It's Mark chapter 4, and I think it's starting in verse 35.
Yeah, sure. So starting in verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said," and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "Hey, let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. They asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
When we were talking about this, we came up with three P's. And we came up with there's a practical response. There is a prayerful response, and there's a proclamation response. And I think that held true in this passage, but it also holds true where we're at as a country and where we're at as a world in the midst of this pandemic. So there's this practical chunk. These guys were fishermen, right? Like, they understood the Sea of Galilee, and there's water coming on, right? Like, there's water coming onto the boat, and they're going, "Hey, like, what are we going to do here? And why is this guy sleeping?" And so there's a practical chunk on this that you see within the text. And I think there's a practical chunk in this. And what are some of the practical things that we're supposed to do, and how can we keep, you know, how can we keep this thing, hopefully slow it down, I guess?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're seeing is that it appears that this coronavirus spreads very easily. And so this is where we need to do things like you probably have heard on the news and everything, that we need to wash our hands. We need to keep
distance. Which we should be doing already.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this is just good hygiene, that don't go into work, don't go out if you're sick. And I think this is part of why all of these precautionary things are going into place. It's because we're trying to limit our that ability for us to spread things from place to place. And so this is where kind of staying home, good hygiene, are all things that are practical ways of us showing caution in the midst of this unknown. And it's going to limit how much we can spread it. And I think this is where, in some ways, are the inconvenience that some of these things may feel like are ways of saying that we're trying to be inconvenienced for the sake of those who could be affected by this.
Absolutely.
So I think this is where we can show that precaution in a non-fearful way by taking these steps of washing our hands, limiting contact with others. And
I heard that like it doesn't survive well in like heat and humidity.
I think this is where we're still studying this. I mean, one of the things that's amazing about science now is that we can do studies and they can be sent out very, very rapidly. So the amount of what we understand about this virus is changing every day as we learn more about it. And so I don't know. I've not seen those studies.
Well, I was just going to say sauna time, right? Like
sauna time. You just want to hang out in the sauna.
It's sauna, not sauna. Yeah.
I don't know if I can justify the sauna, but
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe for other health reasons.
Yeah. So what are some of the other things that you guys see in the passage?
And the practical thing that I love out of this passage is that, one, the disciples are with Jesus. They're in the right spot. They see the storm come up. They're scared. Who's the first guy they turn to? They turn to Jesus. Like, "We need you. Jesus, wake up. This is going crazy. This is out of control." You turn to that solace, that calm place, the one that can make the wind and the waves obey. in the times of chaos, anxiety, stress, trials, turmoil, turn to Jesus. That's mm-hmm. the first place to go.
Yeah. I think one of the keys is I'm looking at this passage is recognizing that these guys were fishermen, that the Sea of Galilee was kind of their transportation almost. They would go across the Sea of Galilee often, like this was their highway. They were so familiar with this little body of water. And so when the storm came up, they knew exactly the trouble that they were in. This was not overblown. They knew exactly they were in danger. And so, they're looking to Jesus. Jesus is sleeping, which is this huge contrast in my mind. But they're having this practical thing. Hey, we're in danger. We need to do something. We need to at least wake Jesus up. Maybe he can help us bail out some more water or that kind of thing. But we need all hands on deck for this. And so I think, you know, as we're kind of drawing some parallels between our situation now, we need to recognize there's danger here. Mm-hmm. That there will be people who catch this thing and will die if they catch it. And so we need to recognize, hey, there's danger and we need to go to our God because he's the one that has the power. He's the one that can save us from this.
As we were studying this, one of the things that really struck out in my mind is the first part where Jesus says, let us go over to the other side. Jesus is calling these guys to go over. He knows what's coming. He knows right. what's ahead, but he's going to be with them. And so that reminded me of Isaiah 43, where that says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And that's just like Jesus is saying, you come with me. I've called you. I know you by name. Trust in me. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to see you through this thing. No matter how scary it gets, no matter how much your fear feels overwhelming, he is with you. He is going to see you through it.
Yeah, we have this beautiful thing that we can come to God in prayer. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the scriptures tell us that we can go boldly before the throne and present our requests. And I was talking with somebody and they said, you know, I wasn't really scared about the coronavirus. And then all of a sudden I started dreaming about it. And I had some fear that was coming out. And you know, really the scriptures tell us when we have that fear, when we have that, we go boldly before the throne. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful of things, but we go into it in prayer and we ask God to protect us, but we also ask God to take some of that fear away. God, give me wisdom in this. What am I supposed to do? What's the practical am I supposed to do? How do I live this thing out? Because living in fear is really not what God came to do or God, Jesus wants for us.
Yeah, and Steve, you might be able to speak into this. The more fear and anxiety and stress we have, that's not good for immune systems either.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that this idea of being afraid is, yeah, it's not healthy for us. And I think that this is where there's that caution, that difference between caution and fear is that we can be showing those practical restraints. But that fear, I think, is something that we want to, like you're all saying, go to God with and trust him because he is the one who is ultimately has this whole situation.
Yeah, when I thought about fear, I was thinking about this passage in Romans 8. And it's a really beautiful passage because it really shows our personal relationship with God and how much he cares for us. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 8 in Romans, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And so I love that because it's this huge contrast. Like, we didn't receive a spirit of fear. We didn't receive this slavery, this oppression. We have this freedom in this relationship with God, so much so we can cry out to him. We can declare, you're my father. You're the one that protects me. You're the one that watches over me. And we can go to him for that assistance and that help. And that's an important part of this. Like, we need to be on our knees. We need to be praying.
I think the last part of that is really just this idea of proclamation. You know, at the end of that passage, it says, you know, they're sitting there and they're like, who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? And the reality is we know from the scriptures that God is in control. This did not surprise him. It wasn't like, whoa, that one caught me by surprise. And he is the one who controls it, and he's the one who understands it, and he knows what it actually is. And so I think some of this is going, okay, God, we're going to trust in you. We're going to proclaim the goodness of God. And he's good whether there's a coronavirus or not a coronavirus. And he's always good. And so the proclamation of this for us as a church of going, man, Jesus is awesome. We want to raise his name up. God is good all the time. We want to do that.
Yeah, I think that provides, again, a great opportunity for us as believers. It provides a great opportunity for the church and as a whole. Psalm 27, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And as we wait for the Lord and we trust in him, we are practical about this. We go to him in prayer. We proclaim his name. We've got opportunities to love our neighbors. There might be people at home next door to you that shouldn't be going out. They might be in that demographic that's highly contagious category. Check on them. See if you can pick up their prescriptions for them. Maybe you can spare a roll of toilet paper that you've got stocked up on. Maybe they just need somebody to visit. Maybe our kids can start drawing pictures because they've got some free time now with an extended spring break, and take those to the nursing home for those folks that aren't going to be able to get out. There are so many, so many opportunities for us to be the hands and feet of Christ.
Yeah, I think that in one sense, the pausing of our culture is actually this great benefit for us. And it's this, you know, nobody's really traveling. I think it's like $60 or something to fly somewhere because nobody's really traveling. We're staying at home. We're connecting with our families. And there's a lot of things that we can do to love our neighbors as ourselves, as you're talking about. There's also a lot of things that we can just do within our family. One of the things that we're working on right now is Right Now Media. That is just like, what is it? Like the Netflix of Bible studies. There's incredible kids videos and all this stuff. Instead of like just letting kids, you know, watch whatever they want, we hope to have some family devotion things that will come out, and we'll send those things out with Right Now Media. Bible Man, Steve, you're a big Bible Man fan.
I love Bible Man.
Bible Man's pretty awesome. And there's like cartoons on there, and we're going to be sending that out. If you don't have a subscription to that, email us, text us. We can give that to you. We can get you on there, and we're going to be doing that. And so there's ways to connect, ways to proclaim, ways to really redeem this time that God has given us. Get in your Bible. Hey, say, you know what? During the coronavirus, I'm going to read the book of, you know, Matthew or whatever it is. And get into the word and really go, man, God really changed my heart. Like, let's redeem this time together as we work through this. There's probably some other things that you guys have thought of that we can do.
I think what everybody's doing out there right now, as we were singing, we were kind of checking out the stats of how many of y'all were online, and do that. Get together. We might not be able to meet as a large corporate body, but this is a great opportunity to reach out to those that are geographically located near you. Invite some neighbors, some friends over. We're still going to be producing our small group questions. We're going to have some meetings tomorrow and later on this week of how we can help facilitate that. But this is a great time for us to break off into small groups, to still have that community with one another, to get into God's word with each other, to be praying over this thing and with each other and for our community, and just looking for ways that as we can gather and still have that sense of assembly together.
Yeah, and we would like to hear from you guys. If you guys have any ideas on things that you see needs and that kind of thing from your neighbors and that kind of stuff, like shoot us a text, give us a call. Like you said, we're going to be meeting on Monday to discuss some of this stuff and how we can respond. But yeah, we would love to hear from you guys. But yeah, the being able to gather and support one another in small groups, I think it's just going to be huge in this time. And so if you don't have a small group, please let us know. We'll make something happen for you. And I'm sure some of our small groups will be happy to invite a few extra people.
Yeah, you can also go online, listen to sermons. A sermon a day keeps a doctor away, I heard. I don't know if that's really true, but so you can go online, and we're going to be in touch with you guys. You know, our president, he declared this to be a national day of prayer, and we want to respect that and his wishes. And so we're closing up, we're wrapping up right now, but we're going to take some time and just pray. And so we just ask you to bow your heads, and Travis is going to lead us in a word of prayer.
All right, guys, let's pray together. Father God, we come before you, separated right now, but one in spirit and in heart, Lord. And we just thank you that you are God alone. You are on your throne. The wind and the waves obey you. You formed everything out of nothing, God, and this doesn't surprise you. And Lord, yet we understand and you understand that we have fears, we have anxieties, we have concerns and cares. And we thank you that you are a God who wants to hear those things. So we come before you, Lord. And as we open up your word together this morning, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've looked at a lot of passages. But in 1 John 4, Lord, you tell us that there is no fear in love, and your perfect love casts out all fear. And in 1 Peter, you tell us that we are to cast our anxieties on you because you care for us, and you're gonna be there for us. So Lord, as we face this battle, as we face these uncertain times ahead, we know that this is an opportunity for us to lean into you and to draw near to Jesus and be that light to our communities, to shine brightly to those that may not have hope in your son Jesus right now. But what a great opportunity we have to share those things, Lord. So I pray that for us as a church and for us as believers and for Evangel as part of this greater community of Houghton, that we would boldly step up to that challenge, that we would reach out to our neighbors, that we would be the tangible hands and feet and shine the love of Christ boldly wherever we go. God, in the midst of all this, we pray for our medical workers. We pray for our doctors, that you would give them all wisdom, that you would give them just a plan ahead of how to be able to handle these things well, that you would be with people who are nervous, who are scared. God, that you would calm their fears. We even pray for the folks that are in our grocery stores as they're working hard and tirelessly. There's a lot of moving pieces, Lord, and a lot of people that are playing a large part in this thing. And we just pray that you would give them the energy that they need to continue to go on. God, we just thank you. We come before you. We're confident in your steadfast love. And we just pray for those people that are impacted and affected with this illness right now. God, we pray for your healing hands to be upon them. We pray for the folks that are in that demographic that are scared, that are more susceptible to catching this thing. And we pray that you would give them peace. We pray that you would protect them and guide them. And Lord, yet this is also an opportunity for us to demonstrate great faith in the midst of uncertainty and really shine brightly for the kingdom of God. And God, I just pray that as these things going around us seem crazy, as these times seem uncertain, that we would just be strengthened, that many people would come to faith for their first time through this, Lord, and that those of us that have been believers for a long time, you would just make our faith that much stronger, God, that it would be an opportunity to check our hearts and draw closer to you in all things. And above it all, you are God, and you are good, and you are in control, Lord, and nothing can separate us from your love. So we pray that you would help us to remember to look to you first and foremost each and every day, and that you'd help us to keep our eyes focused on the true hope, the hope of the world, and that is your son, Jesus Christ. It is in his powerful, protective, and loving name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.